Well, it's been good to be here this morning, and Happy New Year to you all. I'm really trusting that this would be an incredible breakthrough year for you, and that, you know, this would be a better year than last year, and we would just progress and develop in our relationship with the Lord, our relationship with one another. And congratulations on your transitionary period coming this year, and what a great milestone in the life of your fellowship. And a great transition for Pastor Stewie and Pauline. It's just so exciting serving God. You know, His ways are new all the time. You know, His blessings are good towards us. And so it's just wonderful to see what's happening in this great, great church. Now, this morning, you know, I'm going to speak from my heart. And you know, God's laid upon my heart a message. But I just want to speak from my heart this morning and just see the way that the Lord would lead us. Can we do that this morning? And so if we can just bow our heads in a word of prayer, and let's just trust the Lord for something fresh and something new for the church at this stage of its development and growth. Father, we come into you in the name of Jesus this morning, and we consider it a great joy and a privilege to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Lord, I pray that the word that I minister here this morning would be, as it were, fresh manna and fresh revelation. Pray, God, that you would stir us up, that you would do a new work in our lives. Father, we know that there's so much more to be accomplished in the kingdom of God, and we long to see it expanding and growing, and we long to see disciples being established and people growing in their knowledge and their faith towards you. And so, Father, we just commit this time to you this morning, and we give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, and all God's mighty people said, amen, amen. How many of you know that we are living in a world that is advancing in human technology? I mean, it's just unbelievable the way that we've seen, you know, life changed, and we've seen technology advancing. You know, I can just remember, and I suppose if there's one word that sums up all this human achievement, it would have to be the word cutting edge. Now, the word cutting edge means fresh, it means new, it means innovative, it means progression, it means relevant. And that's what the cutting edge is. And we've seen how it's happening in our society right before our very eyes. I mean, I can look back over my life over the past 60 years. We hardly ever heard the word computer, and the only computers that we heard of were those big dinosaurs housed in big buildings and costing millions of dollars. And that was only 60 years ago. But today, I've got within my hand a little computer, and with the press of a button, a wealth of information is downloaded in seconds. I mean, how things have changed over the past 50, 60 years. Absolutely incredible. And then I've got a phone. I mean, this is unbelievable technology. I mean, it can give me an ECG. Where's Dr. Seong? Is Dr. Seong here today? He's my heart cardiologist. I've got the best heart cardiologist in the whole of Perth. And I've got an ECG reading here, and it can give me my pulse rate. It can tell me how many steps I take every day. It can tell me the temperature of my skin right at this very point in time. Not only that, but it also tells me what my sleeping rhythms are. I can tell you precisely how many hours I slept last night. A sum total of 1 or 2 hours. That's about it. Had a bad, bad night last night. But this is modern technology. This is cutting-edge technology. This is breakthrough technology. I'm wondering how many others have great technology like this. Anybody else? Am I the only one? And I'm an old fossil, and look at me. I'm so up to date with all this modern technology. But we're living in a day and age of cutting-edge technology. Do you know, it's been said that when the Apollo 13 got lost in space, it took 1.5 hours by computer to put it back into place, to put it back on the track. If it was left to the scientists with a pen and paper, it would have taken 1 million years. We are living in a day of incredible breakthrough, cutting-edge technology. And listen to what I read this morning regarding modern-edge technology. It says here, 80% of all the scientists who have ever lived, now listen to this, 80% of all the scientists that have ever lived are living today. I mean, how incredible is that? Every minute they add 2,000 pages to scientific knowledge. And the scientific material they produce every 24 hours would take one person 5 years to read. About 500,000 new books are published every year. In fact, according to research studies, the total store of human knowledge is doubling every 8 years. But you know, this is cutting edge technology. And we've got to ask ourselves the question. And by the way, it was Daniel the prophet over 2,500 years ago that prophesied that people would come to and fro and that the knowledge throughout the earth will increase. And today we're seeing that happening before our very eyes. It's one of the signs of the times. We can jump on an airplane today and be in another country in a couple of hours. We can get onto the computer and we can Zoom somebody on the other side of the world and contact them through cyberspace. I mean, this is scientific breakthrough. I mean, who would have ever believed that this would have happened over 60, 70 years ago? I mean, it was just far beyond our understanding when I was a little boy, but now it's become reality. And it won't be long before we're transported around in little helicopters all over the place, like the Jetsons. How many of you remember the Jetsons? Well, it's going to happen. It's happening. And now we're riding around in an electric car. I went for a ride with my cousin the other day, and he's got one of these, what are they? Tesla cars. And we're riding on the Tompkins Freeway. He pressed a button, took his hands off the steering wheel, and the car was driving all by itself. I was a nervous wreck. I said, mate, get back onto the wheel. We're going to pray. And he just went for kilometer after kilometer after kilometer, surrounded by 8 cameras, keeping him in line. Cutting edge technology. Where are we all going with this cutting edge technology? It's unbelievable. We're living, certainly I believe, in the closing days of time. Knowledge is increasing. People are coming and going to and fro throughout the world. But we've got to ask the question this morning. And the question is simply this. With all this incredible technology, with all this cutting-edge breakthrough stuff, we've got to ask the question, is the world a better place? Are we really advancing? Are we really achieving a progressive lifestyle? Are we really making ground personally? How is all this modern technology affecting us? Well, let's see what the Bible says. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 1 verse 18, he says, the greater the wisdom, the greater the grief. He says, to increase in knowledge only increases in sorrow. So with one hand, we see great human achievement. But on the other hand, we see so much pain, sorrow, and suffering. We're living in a broken, fallen world. On one hand, we see cutting-edge technology. And on the other hand, we see a world that is falling into the abyss of values and moral standards declining. And then on the other hand, we see knowledge and we see understanding, yet millions upon millions upon millions of people don't believe in the one true God, the creator of the universe. And the Bible tells us that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The world lies in the power of the evil one. And yet we've got all this cutting-edge technology, and we can't fathom out that God is the creator of the universe. We believe in a Big Bang theory, a big cataclysmic explosion that happened billions and billions and billions of years ago, and we evolved over a period of time. Let me tell you, friends, we're not an accident of an explosion. God created us. He spoke the spoken word and brought into existence the beauty of this creation. How can we stand in awe and see the beautiful creation that God created and say there isn't a God? We look at a beautiful starry night. We look at the rolling, undulating mountains. We see the crystal clean water flowing from the mountains and into the streams. And we can stand in awe and declare the goodness and the grace and the mercy of our God, who is the creator of all great things. Amen. And yet we're advancing in modern technology, and yet the world is falling apart. But you know, friends, what we really need, the answer to this world is not in cutting-edge technology. It's not in big breakthrough scientific discoveries. The answer to this world is a church, is a body of Christ, is a people who are living on the cutting edge of life, who are living in a cutting edge faith, who are living in a cutting edge anointing, who are living in a cutting edge relationship with God. And that's what we desperately need in this world today. We need a revival. We need people to be living on the cutting edge of faith, with a cutting edge anointing, having a cutting edge boldness, declaring a cutting edge message. What does it mean to live on the cutting edge? Let me give you four answers. First of all, I believe to live on the cutting edge, to live on the cutting edge of faith, to live on the cutting edge of anointing, we need to be sharp and we need to be intuitive to the voice of the Holy Ghost. We need to be intuitive to the voice of God. You know, it was Elijah. He didn't hear God in the storm. He didn't hear God in the wind. He didn't hear God in the fire. He didn't hear God in the earthquake. But he heard the still, small voice of God. You see, Elijah was intuitive. He was sharp. His spiritual faculties were zeroed in on God. He was living in the cutting edge. And then, of course, to live on the cutting edge is to have relevant revelation. What do I mean by relevant revelation? It simply means that God is giving us revelation, giving us an understanding of the circumstances that we are going through in the now. Relevant revelation. The Bible tells us, His word is a lamp unto our path and a light unto our feet. That's what it means to have relevant revelation. You see, we all go through difficulties. We all go through hardships. And it's when we're going through these times of difficulty that we need revelation from God. I think it was a couple of years ago I preached here, and I can even remember the message. Judy was still in England, I think, and I was preaching here, and I spoke about how God was doing a new thing in our lives. I'd just returned back from Africa, and we had seen an explosion of growth and the wonderful opportunity of planting a great church that is still growing to this day. But when we got back to England, back to Australia, we went through a terrible time. Real difficult time. Our house had been ransacked. The people that were renting our house, they'd left it in a terrible state. It took us 2 or 3 weeks to get the house all cleaned up. And then we started to move all our furniture back into the house. Judy, at this point in time, was in England, suffering from a very near nervous breakdown. And she wasn't well. And so I had to return back to Australia all by myself. Had to clean up the house all by myself. And then when we had finished cleaning the house, I went and stayed the night at my mother's house. And while I was staying the night at my mother's house, thieves broke into our house. And they ransacked everything, took everything out. And I'm telling you, I had just about enough as I could possibly take. I was just so broken and so frustrated. And I'm thinking, God, where are you in this diabolical situation? And I remember going to my bedroom. Thankfully, they left my bed. And I had a bed to go to. I didn't have any curtains. And I didn't have any wall fittings on to hang the curtains up, because they took everything. And they left my bed. So I went into my bedroom and I lay on my bed. And I'm telling you, I was at the lowest of the low. I mean, you know, Judy's sick in England, and my house been ransacked, and I had no job, and, you know, we just finished coming back from Africa, and I wanted to go back to Africa, and, oh, it was a shocking time. And, you know, I went and lay on my bed, and as I was laying on the bed, that scripture came to my mind, you know, where it says, what does it say? What's the scripture? Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now, I've preached on that particular scripture dozens and dozens of times. It's one of my favorite scriptures. Oh, I can get up and I can preach a good message on it. And at times it was just like words. But for the first time, you know, it was as though the words came off the pages and struck me right in the heart. And for the first time, that particular passage of Scripture had become a revelation to me. It had become a revelation. I had a revelation understanding what it means for God to do something new in my life. Amen. Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Then it goes on to say, do you not perceive it? Do you not perceiving? That word perceive means to discern, to distinguish, to understand. And it's in the perceiving that sets you free. It's in the discerning that sets you free. It's in the understanding that sets you free. In other words, God was saying, remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Even now. What did he say? Even now, I'm bringing it forth. In other words, even now, God is at work. And I want to tell you, friends, at the beginning of this year, it's a great new year. Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? And it's in the perceiving that sets us free. Come on, give me a big Grace Life Pentecostal Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Come on. Amen. But you see, friends, that came to me as a revelation. It was relevant revelation for the time that I was in. Amen. And you know, friends, that's what it means to be living on the cutting edge. And so not only do we get relevant revelation, but we also get the now word of God. The now word of God. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing between the soul and the spirit, the joint and the marrow, discerning the intents and the agendas of the heart. In other words, it's not just reading the Word, but allowing the Word to read you so that you can rightly discern right from wrong, bad from good. Amen. It's about allowing God to do inner surgery in your spirit, cutting away the garbage, cutting away all the evil, cutting away the false agendas, cutting away the wrong thoughts. It's allowing the Holy Ghost to work mightily in your spirit, setting you free. Amen. It's not about you reading the Word, but the Word reading you. Allowing God to put the spotlight of His Holy Spirit into areas within your life so that you can live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. Amen. Give me a big Pentecostal amen. Amen. Are you with me this morning? Amen. So we need the now Word of God. But more than that, we also need the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. Hey, I'm telling you, friends, we can have all the gizmos in the church. We can have the smoke machines. Oh, we can have the great sound systems. We can have all the cutting edge technology. We can have cutting edge follow-up systems. We can have cutting edge. What else do we have? cutting edge lights that are flashing. But I'm telling you, friends, these things aren't going to bring a cutting edge faith with a cutting edge relationship with a cutting edge anointing, because my Bible says it's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Amen. And what a blessing it was this morning to sing the words, to sing in tongues. It was so beautiful. I mean, I go from church to church every Sunday, and I hardly hear anybody singing in tongues. And I'm thinking, for crying out aloud, are we Pentecostal or what? Cutting edge. I don't know about you, friends, but I want to be part of a cutting edge people living in a cutting edge faith, experiencing a cutting edge anointing, with a cutting edge relationship with God, with a cutting edge boldness, with a cutting edge dynamic testimony. We need to be living in the cutting edge. Little Pentecostal, Grace Church, amen. Is Judy happy? I always feel like I'm really in trouble when Judy's eyes close. I don't know whether she's praying or sleeping. I said to her, "Doll, you don't have to come and listen to me this morning. You can stay at home if you want. But being a faithful wife as she is, she's come to support me." And so you see, friends, this year, my prayer for you is that every one of us move into a cutting edge relationship with God. Let this be a year of incredible breakthrough for every one of us. And the question that I have to ask you this morning, as I've had to examine my heart, are we really living on the cutting edge? Are we really experiencing cutting edge relationship? Are we getting the now word of God? Are we getting the cutting edge now revelation? Are we experiencing the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit? Like Elijah, who could hear the still small voice speaking into his heart. Friends, I'm praying that 2022 would be a cutting edge experience for every one of us. A cutting edge church. Amen. Let's believe God for it. But unfortunately, there's so many people that have lost their cutting edge. And we just go through the same old, year after year after year. I want us to turn to 2 Kings chapter 6, reading from verses 1 onwards. If I don't read this, I'll get beyond myself. Listen to what it says here. Okay, did I say 2 Kings? Oh my goodness. Hang on, I'll be with you now. Have you got it on there? 2 Kings, yeah, okay, put it up there, let's read it. 2 Kings, it says, "The company of the prophets said to Elisha, 'Look, the place where we meet with you, it's too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan, where each of us can get a pole, and let us build a place there for us to meet.' Then one of them said, 'Won't you please come with us, your servants?' 'I will,' Elisha replied. Then he went with them, and they went down to the Jordan and began to cut down trees. As one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron head, the axe head, fell into the water. And he cried out, 'Oh no, my Lord,' he cried out, 'it was borrowed.' The man of God asked, 'Where did it fall?' And when he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick and he threw it in there, and they made the iron to float. 'Lift it out,' he said. Then the man reached out his hand and took it." Amen. 2 Kings chapter 6, 1 verse 7. Here we have an incredible story. Here were the prophets who were at school. They were learning how to engage in relationship with God and how to give, you know, the prophetic word under the leadership of the great Elisha. Anyway, it so happened that the place where they were ministering was too small. And so the young prophets came up with the idea that they go out and they chop a tree each and bring back and start building extensions. They wanted to advance the cause of the kingdom. They wanted to see that the kingdom of God was growing. And so they were getting an expansion program, a building program. And they asked Elijah to come and join them. Can we just have scripture one again, please? They asked Elijah to join them, Elisha. And so Elisha did. He came alongside them. And you know, friends, it's good to know that God would never leave us nor forsake us. And He's with us in our endeavors to advance the cause of the kingdom of God. We're not in on this our own. God's with us. He's ever present. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And so they went out and they were building. And then there was this young man standing by the Jordan River and he was falling this tree. Whack, whack, whack. And suddenly his axe head fell off the shank and landed into the murky waters of the Jordan River. Now he felt terrible. He felt absolutely terrible, because this wasn't his axe. The axe head was on loan. And how many of you know, friends, that God has gifted us with talents, abilities, giftings, and we are responsible to take good care of everything that God has given to us. The money in your bank is not yours. It belongs to God. You are a custodian. You are a steward of all that God has given to us. Your car outside there, that belongs to the Lord. Your children belong to the Lord. Your house belongs to the Lord. Everything that you have, your giftings, your talents, your spiritual giftings, your natural talents, these are the giftings that God has given to you. You are custodians. You have to be a good steward. You are responsible to look after these things. And you know, friends, there's nothing worse when you lend your equipment out, whether it be your car, your lawnmower, or whatever the case may be, and you find it comes back to you in a terrible state. I can remember as a pastor, I lent my car out. And it came back 2 weeks later. And by the way, when I let it out, it had petrol in the tank. It had oil in the engine. It had water in the radiator. And it was a complete motor car. There wasn't one ding on the body. Came back 2 weeks later. No fuel in the tank. And the oil and the water lights on. And a big ding on the side. I was furious, to say the least. I'm thinking, he will never borrow my car ever, ever again. But that's irresponsible. And unfortunately, that's the way that many people treat God and their giftings, their talents, and their abilities. You know, they just don't care. We have an obligation, we have a responsibility to take good care of everything that God has given to us. And of course, this young prophet now, this young student, felt terrible. He said, oh my gosh, it's not mine. He cried out, alas, it's borrowed. I mean, to have an accident, it wasn't just a matter of going to Bunnings with a voucher and purchasing another axe head. I mean, an axe head was your prized possession. This was a means of making money. This was the means of, you know, productivity. And now he had lost it, but he felt terrible. The one thing I love about this young prophet was that he didn't blame anybody. You know, a lot of people suffer from a bad dose of blamatitis. You know that. If there's a problem, they're quick to blame others. And it started off with a woman. Now I'm in trouble. Now I've lost half the congregation, haven't I? I just saw your eyes. I'm telling you. I just saw them from sweet go to viciousness. I can see it. I've noted. But she tried to blame Adam. You know, and right throughout generation after generation, we're all suffering from blamatitis. It would never have happened if it weren't for them. But let me tell you, friends, that we, every one of us, are responsible for ourselves. Amen? Every one of us. And God has given to us every good and perfect gift. You know, I'm a steward of the giftings that God has given to me. My gifting is that of an evangelist. And it's my responsibility to develop in this gifting. I can't take it for granted. I've got to do my study. There was a time when, I was going from church to church preaching the gospel. And I was, tired and I was starting to lose the cutting edge after a period of time. And instead of operating in the anointing, instead of operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, I slipped over to my character and all the other natural abilities. And I think that that's what happens at times. We can become so tired. We can become so, we start to neglect our devotions. We start to neglect our Bible readings. We start to neglect our study. We start to neglect our prayer. And after a period of time, we take everything for granted and we start to lose the cutting edge. And unfortunately, for a long period of time, I was going from church to church. I'd feel terrible when I was introduced as the great evangelist, and it was my opportunity and privilege to preach at a church. But I felt nothing on the inside. I was the man of God. I was supposed to have that cutting edge anointing. When in fact, I was dead on the inside. I was on the blunt side of life. And so often that can happen in our own spiritual lives. Amen. We can put on a good face, or we can raise our hands and we can sing the songs and we can dance and, we can all do that. But on the inside, we've lost the cutting edge. And this is precisely what this young man experienced. He lost his cutting edge. And he ran to the prophet Elisha and he says, "Alas, alas, it was borrowed." And so many people have lost their cutting edge. You see, this young man didn't lose his cutting edge because he was negligent. Well, he was negligent. He didn't lose his cutting edge because he was lazy. He didn't lose the cutting edge because he was ignorant. He lost his cutting edge because he forgot to watch. He forgot to check. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? And so with every pounding blow, boom, 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 little did he take time out to examine his axe head. And it slowly but surely started to slip off its shank, bit by bit. And then all of a sudden, continued on, boom, boom, boom. And that axe head flew off the shank and into the murky waters of the Jordan. He failed in his watchfulness. And I'm telling you, friends, if we don't stay in that place where we're waiting on the Lord, where we're reading our word, where we're developing our relationship with God, little do we know that we're losing that cutting edge and we're not operating in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We're not getting that now word. We're losing the ability to be sharp and intuitive and hear the still small voice of God speaking into our hearts. Why? Not because we're negligent, only because we failed in our watchfulness. Amen. And we can go for weeks, we can go for months, we can even go for years and fail in our watchfulness, but we've lost our cutting edge. And I'm wondering today, how many of us feel as though we've lost the cutting edge? Well, I've made a commitment this year that this year would be a year of sharpening the axe head. You know, I'm reminded of a story of a young man who joined the work crew of some loggers. And there was this young guy and there was an older fella. And this young man, he came into the forest and he was so energetic. Boom, 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 boom. And he was falling the trees just like pow, pow, pow. They were coming down like matchsticks. And then he would see an old man. Doo-dunk, doo-dunk. And then he'd see this old man. He would sit down. And he thought, what the heck's he doing? And he was there chopping away, boom, 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 boom. But as time went by, this young man, he got tireder and tireder and tireder. And all of a sudden, his productivity wasn't as good and wasn't as effective as it was in the beginning. He ran out of steam. He neglected his watchfulness. And eventually he was fired. Anyway, on his way out, he saw the old man sitting on the bench. He was sitting on the bench. And the old man said to him, and he went up to the old man. Let me just get the scripture. He went up to the old man and he said to the old man, why was it that I was working so hard? I mean, I was knocking these trees down and you were stopping and you were sitting, you know, reading your book. And why? And this old man, he said, well, long time ago, my dad gave me a scripture from the Bible. And it goes like this. It goes like this. If the axe head is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength, but wisdom brings success. And the old man said to this young man, I wasn't sitting resting as you supposed. I was sharpening my cutting edge. You see, friends, this old man was working smarter, not harder. He was spending time cutting edge, sharpening his cutting edge. And you know, we can achieve so much more if we just took time out to sharpen our spiritual faculties. We can see God work in signs, miracles, and wonders. We can see the power of God in operation like we've never seen it before. If only we would take time out to sharpen our spirit, to be intuitive and sharp, so that we can hear the still small voice of God, so that we can get the now revelation and not have to make it up, so that we can get the now word of God, so that we can be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost and see God confirm His word with signs, miracles, and wonders. Come on. Amen. Amen. Let's take time out. Let's not fail in our watchfulness. Let's keep moving forward, sharpening our cutting edge. And I'm making this year my year of breakthrough. Amen. I want to get back to where I used to be. You know, as an evangelist, I used to travel all around Australia at one time. And I can honestly tell you, and I'm not boasting or anything, but we would see some incredible moves of the Holy Spirit. I remember a time when I was preaching on healing, and I've got to tell you, it was one of the worst messages I had ever preached in my life. I'd taken my son with me, and he was sitting in the front of the church, and he was yawning. And I'm thinking, Jesus, I'm not really cutting the edge. I'm not on the cutting edge today. He was so bored. And I'm thinking, and I'll look at Judy, and if I see her starting to doze off, I know that I'm not cutting on the cutting edge. Are you on the cutting edge? Huh?
I'm about to.
About to what? Sleep! Are you serious? She says this is an old story. But you haven't heard this story. She says she's heard all my messages before. I haven't preached this for years. But listen to me. Don't ignore Judy for a while. Listen to me. You get the revelation for yourself. Will you do that? Judy doesn't need it, but she knows everything. Okay. Anyway, now what I'm saying is simply this. And so my son was sitting there and he was so bored and I wasn't on the cutting edge. And I was preaching this message. I'd been fasting for 20 days, for goodness sake. And I'm thinking, oh God, you failed me. What's happening? And then I gave my altar call. And the only reason why I gave this altar call was to please the pastor, so that the pastor feels that his guest ministry is doing the right thing, calling people out to pray for them. So anyway, I to satisfy the pastor and to, you know, to look good and to be the evangelist, I said, if you want healing, come out. And I couldn't believe it. People came from everywhere. And I'm thinking, this is the worst message I've ever preached in my life. I'm thinking, oh God, rapture me. Open the ground, swallow me. get me out of here. That's how I felt. And so as I gave the altar call, all these people come running out to the front. And I'm thinking, sheesh, this has got to be God, because it's certainly not my preaching by any stretch of the imagination. And so these people came out. Now I'm thinking to myself, jeez, if I go down there and pray for them personally and nothing happens, that's going to reflect badly on me. So what I will do is I'll pray for everybody a general prayer. You know, as an evangelist, I know all the tricks. I know every one of them. I know exactly what to do. I know exactly. I know how to trip people over and ping. No, no, that's not true. That's not true. I don't do that. I do not do that. You must believe me. I do not do that. But I know what to do. And so I called them forward and I said, folk, I'm going to pray for you generally today. There's too many people. Good excuse. But I said it anyway. God, oh, heal, 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 heal. And all of a sudden, I hear this woman screaming in the front. And I hear people murmuring around. And I open my eyes and there's this woman that had been wheeled on her wheelchair to the front by her husband. She got out of her wheelchair, aided by her husband and by her son, turned around, and they both walked towards the outside of the church. And as they were doing this, this woman straightened up, straightened up, straightened up. She had been riveted to this wheelchair for 18 years. And she straightened up, straightened up. Husband let her go. Eventually the son let her go. She walked straight to the end, came straight to the front. The husband came running to the pulpit. He picked me up and he said, oh, thank you for coming. I said, mate, don't thank me. Thank God. I'm more surprised than you. By this time, the church was in holy pandemonium. I mean, people were shouting, people were screaming. There were people going to the floor, and God was delivering them from demonic possession. And there was just a real buzz. There was an atmosphere of the cutting edge. There were cutting edge miracles. There was cutting edge power. There was cutting edge anointing. I've got to tell you, I have never seen anything like it in my life. All of a sudden, I look at my son, and his eyes were like fluorescent light bulbs. That meeting went on right up until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Amen. Oh, there's so much more to that story. Have I told you that story before? No, I haven't, see? But what am I saying? I'm saying simply this. I spent my time sharpening the axe. I committed myself to prayer. I committed myself to fasting. Oh, I would listen to Reinhard Bonnke. I would listen to Billy Graham. Oh, I would absorb the Word of God. I would memorize the Scriptures. And the more I did this, I felt the axe head getting sharper and sharper. And when I got up there to preach and nothing happened in the beginning, I felt so dejected. But how many of you know that God is faithful and He always comes through? Hallelujah! I got home that day. You can ask Judy. I literally banged the door down with my son behind me. Boom! Oscar. Jackpot, jackpot, jackpot! We saw the power of God. Amen. Well, you can give me a clap if you want. I mean, give the Lord a clap. You know, the following week, or 2 weeks later, I was invited to preach in Canberra, and I did no fasting. I was so confident that I was Paul the Apostle. I preached exactly the same message, the same words, the same altar call. Zero. You see, friends, if we're going to experience the cutting edge, we've got to sharpen our spiritual faculties. We've got to get back into it. We've got to get back into playing church. You know, all this young man had was a shiny shank. That's all he had. He'd lost the cutting edge. And you know, friends, we can all have the shiny shank. And it looks good on the outside. It looks smart. and you can be pounding away, boom, 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 and you can be speaking in tongues and raising your hands, boom, boom, boom. But all it is a shiny shank, and it's going to go nowhere. Amen. You know, the New Testament church was not an electronic church. They didn't have all the modern technology that we have today. It didn't have all the shiny lights. I notice you don't have shiny lights here. Is there a problem? They didn't have smoke machines. You know, the presence of God. They didn't have the solid sound amplification system. They didn't have all the modern follow-up systems. And you sit on the phone, ask me, I've been there. Phone for earning everybody for hours and hours and hours with the modern technology. They didn't have any of that. They had an electrifying church. An electrifying church. And fresh from the upper room, they invaded the world. Hallelujah. Amen. And I don't know about you, brothers and sisters. I don't want a shiny axe. Shank, I want the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to be on the cutting edge. Boom, boom, boom. Sitting down, sharpening the edge. Getting up again, boom, boom. Sitting down, sharpening the edge. Amen. And I'm telling you, before long, are you guys all right with this today? And before long, we're operating in a new anointing. We call it the fresh anointing. We call it cutting edge anointing. We call it relevant revelation for the now. We're talking about the now word of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen. Amen. Come on. We're hearing that voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to us. Oh, come on. Let's believe God for it. God is the same. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And if they could have a Wales revival at the beginning of the turn of the century, why can't we have revival today? Judy's telling me it's too late now. I'm finished. Can I tell you one more story? Can I just say one more story? How many of you got the roast lunch on? One more story. And with this, I'm finished. I should really use notes. But I can't preach from those. I promise you. I just tried. How many of you know that I really tried to get this? Some of you thinking that I just picked this up. I've been on this word since yesterday morning. Whole day yesterday. And some of the night. And I couldn't get it. So I thought, oh, blow, let's trust the Holy Ghost. Has it been all right? I mean, some people can. I wish I could. I can't even understand my own writing or... You know, an eagle lives for an average of 35 years. You know, in Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31, it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Do you know, an eagle reaches the age of 35. He's just about reached his zenith of life. He's about to die. But there is another option. It's a huge risk, but some eagles take it anyway. They go through a process of rejuvenation. Now, by this time, 35 years of age, they're looking like an old dust feather, dusty. You know those dusters. You know, flying through the sky. A little shocking. Feathers are everywhere. It's like Judy when she wakes up in the morning. Yeah, but I can do this to her because she's mean to me at times too. And so, you know, they look all like a dust feather just flying through the air. But you know, an eagle never says die. He flies off to a place of solitude. And when he goes to this place of solitude, he starts to pluck out his old feathers. He goes through a molting process. Plucks all his feathers out. And then he finds a rock because his beak is full of crustacean and looks horrible, you know, like old toenails. And he puts the beak between two rocks, boom, 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 and he knocks off all the crustaceans. He then finds a rock and he starts to sharpen his talons, like this, goes on and on and on. And then he goes into a creek and he unclogs all the oil glands, gives himself a real bath. And for 150 days, he lays in the sun. And as he lays in the sun, new feathers are growing. As he lays in the sun, new oil is starting to filter through into his glands. New feathers start to grow. He starts to feel new energy, new life, new vibrancy, new excitement starting to come. And eventually, his feathers are grown. Oil glands are full. Talons are sharpened. Beak is as sharp as anything. Stands on a rock. And he gives himself a big push and a squawk. Wah! Stretches his wings and takes to the air as the king of the air. Amen. You see, an eagle never says die. And I'm telling you, friends, there comes a time. I'm telling you, believe you me, I'm telling you the truth because I'm there. 68 years of age. I feel like a jolly, worn, torn eagle flying around like a dust feather. Feather duster. But this is my year to fly off to my place of solitude, away from my wife. What? In my little 12-foot caravan and go and sit on Busselton Beach and read my Bible. Good idea? Yes. Don't you want to come with? Amen. And you know, friends, I think there comes a time in every one of our lives, no matter how young you are or how old you are, to fly off and get together with the Lord Jesus Christ. Allow the Holy Spirit, the oil of the Holy Spirit, to saturate you. Allow the Word of God to work through you. Allow yourself to hear the still small voice of God. And then when it comes to preparation on a Sunday morning, when it comes to speaking to people, you're so in tune with God. You've got the now Word of God. Amen. Wouldn't it be awesome? Wouldn't it be awesome? I'm telling you, it'll take a lot of hard work away from preparation. Pastor Stu, you know what I mean. Studying all the time to get a sermon out for Sunday. I hate it. I have to tell you. I'm not a studier by nature. But wouldn't it be so much easier if we said, oh God, fill this dumb nut with some power. God, forgive me the ability to operate in a new dimension of the Holy Ghost. Give me a now word. Give me that attuned ear to hear the Spirit of God. Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Amen. So that we can see you confirming your word with signs, miracles, and wonders. Come on! Is it possible? It is! It is! It is! And I'm praying that 2022 would be your cutting edge year. And that many of us here today will experience a new, fresh anointing. Hey guys, don't get into the retirement mode. You know, like Pastor said, he's not in retirement mode. I mean, I could easily chill out, I promise you. I could easily chill out. Easily chill out. Go and sit in my caravan, Busselton Beach, and don't worry about anything, just chill out. But I couldn't. Oh, there's a cry within my heart that needs to fulfill the plan and the purposes of God. Amen. And every one of us have been called by God. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to stand up here and speak words. Wherever you are, you can be on the cutting edge of the anointing. As a mother, you can be on the cutting edge of the anointing. Amen. As a grandpa, you can be on the cutting edge. Amen. Are you a great-grandpa now?
No, grandpa.
You can be a woman and on the cutting edge. Now you're smiling. Amen. So come on, friends. You know, I'm really trusting that 2022 would be our breakthrough year. Our breakthrough year. And I'm finished now. Can I pray for you all? Why don't we all stand up? Why don't we all stand up? And instead of having an altar call, we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you like right now. You know, I'd like the singers. Can you come up and sing a beautiful song for us? Just, that was great praise and worship this morning, I'll tell you. I'll get Judy to open this bottle. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Thank you. You know, this morning, this beautiful lady, she sang a song, "It is well, it is well, it is well with my soul." You know, I lost a son, both Judy and I, we lost a little boy in a terrible drowning accident in England many, many years ago. And I questioned my faith, I questioned the call of God, but God gave me a relevant revelation. And he pointed me to a now word of God in Isaiah, where it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, and to set at liberty those who are in captivity." From that day on, Judy and I made a determination that we would always pursue the call of God in preaching the gospel, in uplifting and encouraging God's people. And I want to follow that through today. And perhaps there's someone here tonight, today, and you feel that, you know, you're not in a right relationship with God. And today you want to get right with God. You know, the Bible tells us that this young man went back to this prophet. And the prophet said to him, "Where did you lose it? Where did you lose the axe head?" You see, friends, the place of loss is also the place of recovery. The place of loss is the place of recovery. Go back. And that's what the Bible calls repentance. And I feel that today, many of us need to repent, including myself. We need to come to the place of repentance where we turn our back upon our apathy, our complacency, turn our back on unforgiveness, turn our back on resentment, turn our back on envy, turn our back on those things that limit and restrict us from moving forward. The place of loss is the place of recovery. The place of departure is the place of recovery. Where were you when you lost the cutting edge? What were you doing when you lost the cutting edge? I encourage you to get back to the place of departure and have your strength renewed. Have the cutting edge sharpened. Get back. Get back to the place of departure. Maybe it's a closed Bible. Maybe it's a place where you're no longer visiting and praying like you ought to pray, like you've prayed for in the past. Maybe you confronted an incredible challenge, and that challenge rocked you so bad that you can't get back to where you were. But you know, God is telling you, go back to where you were. Go back to where you were. And so the young prophet, he took the prophet Elisha back to the place where he lost the cutting edge. And Elisha told this prophet to cut down a branch, cut down a branch. And he cut it down. Then he told him to throw it in the water. And a miracle happened. A miracle happened. That axe head floated to the surface. Do you know the Bible tells us in Isaiah and Zechariah that Jesus is the root of Jesse, that he is the branch that was cut down on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. And on the third day he arose from the dead victoriously. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. And he cried out, "I am he that liveth and was dead, but behold, I am alive forevermore." Jesus was cut down and went into the grave so that we could free ourselves from the bondage of sin and death. We don't have to live under the power of sin and death because Jesus went to the grave on our behalf. He went to the cross, he went to the grave, and he was resurrected. Friends, today, I encourage you to come back to the cross. The place of recovery is to get back to the place of departure. Where did you lose it? Let's get back to it. Let's get back to where we were last year. Let's get back to where we were when we got first saved. Let's get back to that place where we were filled with the Holy Ghost. Let's get back to our first love. Let's get back to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Let's get back to believing God for signs, miracles, and wonders. Don't allow hope to make you sick. Don't allow, you know, the Bible tells us that hope deferred or a vision deferred makes the heart sick. And some of you are sick in your heart because you've hoped and you've hoped and you've hoped and you've hoped, but nothing's broken through for you. Today's your day. Come back to the cross. Repent from your sin. Repent from your waywardness. Repent from your shallowness. Repent from the blunt side of life. Repent, repent, repent. And give God the opportunity to work new in your life today. This is a new day. Oh, brothers and sisters, it's a new day. Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Even now it breaks forth. Do you not perceive it? Do you not perceive it? Father, I come to you in the mighty name of Jesus right now. Father, I know that not everyone will follow through on what I have suggested we do this morning. But there are those that have taken this to heart. And it's penetrated their spirit in such a way that they want to believe you for relevant revelation. They want to believe you for the now word of God. They want to believe you for the indwelling power of your Holy Spirit. They want to believe you now to be sharp and to be intuitive, to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And if that be you now, I pray that you will take this on board. Take this as a word from God for you at the beginning of 2022. This is your word for the year. Make a commitment. God, I'm coming back to the place of departure where I lost the cutting edge. Renew my strength, I pray. May I mount up with wings as an eagle. May I run and not be weary. May I walk and not faint. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I speak this into your hearts right now. I encourage you by the word of the Lord this morning. I encourage you, I implore, come to the cross, come to the cross, come to the cross, come to the cross. In Jesus' name. Come to the cross. Let's sing one song, one song.